Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, which is a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. Pleasure to have you here listening all around the world. We are ready to go because we have an incredible guest who's joining us, Tina Jackson of Jackson Consulting Group, based in Washington, D.C. She's a skilled, enterprising executive coach, certified emotional intelligence practitioner, strategic operations expert, and founder and principal of Jackson Consulting Group. Tina works with leaders seeking to grow and prosper and individuals who wish to transform their lives through personal growth and also take steps toward the next level of development, fulfillment, and success. She brings her many, many years of extensive experience and leadership to coaching, and she's also curated a purposeful path with her down-to-earth, warm, practical approach and guiding her clients to excellence. Tina also helps leaders cultivate self-awareness, an introspective approach as well, very important. That empowers them to make better decisions when they have that introspective approach, and that really helps them make those better decisions because they embrace their vulnerability and humility. She will also discuss her five pillars of leadership development as we have the conversation to promote the greatest learning and development in helping leaders achieve their vision. Tina's recognitions include the 2023 Power Players listing by DC Modern Luxury Magazine, Most Empowering Emotional Intelligence Coach of the Year 2023, that's by CIO Today, as well as Most Inspiring Businesswoman of the Year 2023 by CXO Outlook, and Top 5 Empowering Consultants of 2023 by Business Leaders Review. That's incredible. She's also a member of the prestigious organizations such as the Center for Executive Coaching, the International Coaching Federation, and the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team, as well as the Forbes Coaches Council. Tina inspires everyone to take on the world with a vision and mission to encourage leaders to greatness. Her website is tinajackson.com, and that is spelled T-I-N-N-A, and then Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N.com, tinajackson.com. We'll mention it again during the course of our conversation, uninterrupted and live for the next 30 minutes here on Close Up Radio. First, let's welcome Tina to the program here on Close Up Radio, coming to us again from our nation's capital, from Washington, D.C. Tina, welcome to the program. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us today.
The honor is all mine. Thank you so much, Jim. So happy to be here.
Oh, I appreciate that. And, yeah, we're excited, too. And I like to, when we first start out with the guests, I like to sort of humanize them with the audience. So the audience really gets a good feel for why the guest does what they do. What are some of their inspirations? What are some of the things that pointed them in the direction of doing the work? Not only that they do so well, but work they love so much, they have to do it. Let's talk about some of your inspirations, your inspirational life's journey, and the earlier work that sort of pointed you in the direction of becoming the great coach that you are.
Thank you so much. That's a great question. So I became an executive coach because, you know, I think we all have had those interesting bosses, those few bosses over the years that were bad managers but were actually somewhat likable. And I did like them. You know, I understood them. I understood their frustrations, but they could not manage themselves, let alone other people.
And can I give
felt
you my
them
list?
And I'm sure my list is longer. I felt for them, and I tried to figure out how I could help them and bridge the gap with staff. And for one person in particular, person was very difficult, but I was able to crack a code, and I became this person's deputy to save the team. And in doing so, you know, I realized this isn't just happening with me and this organization. It's happening everywhere. And I knew then with absolute certainty that I could help others. And so I did the work, and I did the training, and became a certified executive coach.
That's exciting. And it really speaks to the essence of who you are, right? This is work that you love doing because you like to inspire and encourage others.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's what's great when you get to do work that really speaks to the essence of who you are, as you do, Tina. So you've become the executive coach. And when you take a look at the work that you do, do you think leaders are struggling more today since we have seen a shift now in how we work? I would imagine, because I heard from a lot of coaches, especially during the thick of the pandemic, how busy they were, how their phone has been ringing off the hook, people looking for guidance, looking for inspiration to keep going, looking for hope, but also looking for clarity in the cloud of everything that has come our way in just the last few years.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think leaders are struggling. There's definitely more challenges for leaders today given this post-COVID workplace. I mean, over the last few years, as you mentioned, everyone has had the time to decide what's more important, and achieving a proper work-life balance is certainly in sight. You know, I think that people want to be more present in their relationships and with family. But in doing so, like, these leaders are also responsible for leading their organizations and reporting to, you know, a board of directors. I think the struggle is for leaders finding their own balance while also ensuring that their teams are motivated and performing from remote locations, right, and with these hybrid workplace models. I mean, this means that you have to communicate more with your teams than ever before and understand their needs and fulfill them. And you know, quite frankly, one of those needs is maintaining that remote work model. You know, some employees would rather quit a job nowadays than return to in-person work requirements. I mean, many leaders say that there is no substitute for in-person collaboration, and I can't disagree with that. Many others say that you can get the same result through Zoom and Microsoft Teams. I mean, it's definitely a struggle for leaders today in many industries.
It really is on so many different levels. Tell us about the work of an executive coach. People hear about all the different kinds of coaching and coaches that are out there, but what is it specific about your work as an executive coach?
Well, my work as an executive coach is basically to help people along. You know, look, these individuals are very smart people, right? I think that we all get to a point where you just kind of get stuck, you know? You've got competing priorities with family and with the office. Like I said earlier, with, you know, reporting to a board of directors, everyone reports to someone, right? And sometimes you just get stuck and you need either that trusted advisor or that third party that can come in and help you, you know, view things differently, you know, kind of step outside of your situation and view things, view other paths forward.
That's very important. Absolutely. The path forward is having a path forward, creating one and following it. Sometimes we do need some help along the way, and this is where somebody mm-hmm. as expert as you come in. Why is good leadership, I mean, it's critical all the time, but why do you feel especially now good leadership is critical?
Yeah, you know, good leadership is critical right now because I think we all need to be inspired. You know, we need to be inspired to do, to get things done. You know, not just at work, but for ourselves personally. We all have things we need to accomplish, and sometimes, I mean, even for me, we need a push. We need a motivator. We need a vision for what could be, a vision for a possible future state of being. So, I think we need people who care to step up and lead the way. And in my coaching, you know, this is my way of stepping up and leading the way and helping people curate their own paths forward.
Which is incredible. Yeah, it really is. Again, that forward movement seems to be a theme, which I think is terrific. What are some of the things that you feel distinguish you maybe from others that are out there? You mentioned the work of an executive coach. What are some of the methodologies, the techniques, maybe your vision and perspective that allows you to stand out in your approach to others that are out there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I think all coaches bring something very unique to the table and to all those they serve. I think what distinguishes me from other coaches is that, you know, my professional experience is unique. It's vast, mainly having worked in national politics and in operations. I've been working for close to 30 years now, and I've gone from, you know, starting as an assistant to a manager, you know, a manager of processes and people, and to a director, to, you know, to a director of a department, and, you know, managing over 300 people at sea level. And so that journey certainly was not without difficulty. This experience gives me the knowledge to craft specific programs for clients based on their specific needs, because I know the struggles. I've been there. I've seen it. I've done it. And I'm confident that I can help individuals on their journey to transformation.
That's really important. Again, it's all mm-hmm. that journey that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What are your five pillars of leadership? I mentioned this in the introduction. You have these five pillars of leadership. And why are they necessary and so effective, Tina?
Absolutely. So the first, and again, as an emotional intelligence practitioner, right, self-awareness is so critical. I mean, being self-aware means having a clear understanding of your strengths, your weaknesses, your beliefs, your values, right? This can help you make better decisions and lead with authenticity. The second pillar, communication. Communication is key. Effective communication is key to being an effective leader, right? This includes being able to convey your ideas and vision, as well as listening, listening to and understanding other perspectives. The third pillar, emotional intelligence. You know, that involves being able to recognize and manage your own emotions, as well as, you know, recognizing the emotions in others. I mean, this can be critical for building trust and managing teams effectively. The fourth pillar, strategic thinking. Influential leaders need to be able to think strategically and see the big picture, see the forest through the trees. You know, this includes analyzing situations, making informed decisions, and developing long-term plans. And the last pillar is adaptability. You know, adapting and being flexible in the face of change is essential. And being adaptable means responding to new challenges and shifts in your environment, which, I mean, it's just happening all day, every day nowadays. And I mean, all these pillars are necessary and effective because without them, a leader's deficiencies will be so evident, and it makes it difficult for employees, for individuals and teams to take leaders seriously and provide the support that's needed for organizations to succeed.
Which is the key, yeah, one of several mm-hmm. keys. Those mm-hmm. are great pillars that you've created there, and I can see why they're necessary and effective. Now, through the grapevine, we had heard that you don't necessarily like attention on you per se.
I do not prefer.
Yeah, you did you hear that, everybody? That was very confident. I do not. But you really, the reason being is you prefer to see others do well. So while and I say this often about myself too, being in this industry of television, radio, and all these years, a lot of light comes my way. But what I also mm-hmm. like to do is share that light, course, there's some light needed for me to do what I do, but to share that light and maybe sometimes even turn the light around and spotlight it on others. And you prefer to see others do well, and you give as much credit to others as possible. I totally can get that, because I can't tell you how many times, Tina, I always say we and everything.
Yes.
And I've been even told by people, no, that one was I. You did that. That was your accomplishment. That was your, you know, take the accolade, take the reward, take the, you know, appreciate the accomplishment. We had nothing to do with that. That was all you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like you. I see the we and the us in things,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a unique approach. How do you feel now about being recognized through the recent accolades?
It's a little uncomfortable, but being recognized for your efforts, it's incredible. The thing is that, you know, praise and accolades come until the end, like at the finish line. And so they don't come necessarily when you're on the path, you know, getting those bumps and bruises along the way. But it is certainly an honor to be recognized. I think that there is more of a general understanding nowadays that this coaching work is important, and it's emotional and it's challenging. And so I'm grateful for all of the recognition I've received.
Which is, again, not why you do what you do, but it comes and you appreciate it, and sometimes it can even give energy to continue doing the extraordinary work, because people are recognizing it and appreciating it and finding value in it, which is a wonderful thing. Do you believe that the roles of women specifically, women leaders, are we making progress? Is it progressing? Are we going slowly but surely in the right direction?
I mean, I believe there has been progress, but there's still a long way to go. And it starts with us women. You know, I think we need to be more comfortable and confident in asking for what we want and going after it. The thing is, as women, we tend to work really, really hard, and we just hope that people will recognize our efforts. And when that doesn't happen, it's incredibly frustrating. And we think something's wrong with us. And so in that process, we think it's difficult to have those conversations about getting what we deserve for those efforts, for what we've done. The other thing, too, I think that, you know, with the women who are in senior roles, I think that they need to help other women. We also need support from men in this effort. I mean, it's, again, still a long way to go, but progress has been made, I think.
Absolutely right, On so many levels, just got to keep at it and keep going forward. Do you have... because we have some time, maybe there's a success story that comes to mind, a case study that comes to mind with somebody, an individual or a group or a company you've had an opportunity to work with, and your coaching sort of helped guide them to a new way of thinking, new level of success and fulfillment. You know, you can be successful, but you want to be happy and fulfilled. I think, like you said, a lot of people are looking for their cup to be fulfilled and just personal satisfaction and what they're doing with their lives. Tell us maybe you have a case study or so, a success story you can share. People love to hear those.
Absolutely. I do have one in particular that stays on my mind, where I've actually been coaching this individual for about 3 years now. And this person works incredibly hard. I mean, a workhorse. And we've tried to figure out different ways, not for the person to slow down necessarily, but to prioritize what was important. And, you know, at first it was a continuous cycle of, you know, go, go, go. You know, work seemed to be more important. until something started to shift in the person's life, and she began to recognize that, you know, she has a team. She has a team that was fully capable of handling responsibilities in her absence. We got her to a point where she realized that not using her team was a disservice not only to her and to the organization, but it was a huge disservice to her team. And so I helped her recraft responsibilities for her team. And we designated a deputy for this individual so that she could feel comfortable not being around, not being as visible, and giving various people on her team projects so that they all could shine individually. And so she didn't need to be present all the time. She was able to begin traveling, spending time with her kids, while also getting updates from her team. And, I mean, she's gone from working in person with her team 50 to 60 hours a week to now doing maybe 25, and being completely comfortable doing more business development and traveling. And she's able to, as a result, bring in more business as a result of that coaching. And it was no easy feat. It was very difficult. It was quite challenging for her to take those steps. But we got to the root of her issues. And yeah, she's been thriving ever since. It's pretty great to see her do so well.
I tell you, it must be personally gratifying too for you when you see these things happen with your clients. You see the transformation, the transition, almost like a rebirth, rekindling of the light in the person's life, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely exciting.
One of the things, too, I would imagine, is at the outset, when you're first working with your clients, there is this, you know, because you inspire everybody, as I mentioned, to sort of take on the world with the vision and mission to encourage leaders to greatness. And in order to do that in the beginning, I would imagine you establish trust between you and that client and the client and you, because sometimes they might even open up and share with mm-hmm. you things that they don't even share with other colleagues or loved ones and friends. So trust mm-hmm. right on the outset, in the beginning, and maintaining that is essential for you and the client and the client and you, right? It's paramount to this
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. It definitely is. You know, you have to establish a rapport. People have to know that you can be trusted and that you understand where they've been and where they want to go. People have to know and have the confidence in you that you can help them get to a higher level. And that could mean anything, right? That could mean, you know, helping someone increase sales. It could mean, you know, helping someone better manage their time, help them with professional development in various ways. It's no easy feat, but once you're able to make that connection with someone, it's really great. It's really great.
That's fantastic. It really, really is on so many different levels. Mm-hmm. Somebody listening saying, gee, I like what Tina Jackson has to say here, and I like her approach. What are those first steps? What is the process like initially in working with you? Is there an assessment that you do? How does it all work in the beginning?
Well, there's what's called discovery. It's that open conversation to figure out what the needs truly are. And, you know, you may not get what you need out of that first conversation. I like to have a couple of conversations because I view it as peeling back the onion. you know, it's difficult for people to open up at the first conversation. So I would say after two or three conversations, we get to a point where we determine, you know, what the needs are, what the true needs are, and what do we do moving forward. Is there an assessment? Sure. But some people don't need that. Some people are self-aware, and they know exactly what they need. And so that's why those first few conversations are so critical, so that we can craft something specific for each individual.
Which is really terrific. You mm-hmm. customize it for your clients. It's not a cookie cutter, one size fits all approach, which I think is really, really terrific. You've been doing this for quite some time, over 25 years of diverse industry experience. What is it about this work that really speaks to you on such a deep level?
It's the relational piece. You know, when I started out in my career, I believe this or not, I had quite a bad attitude. I did not like people. At least I thought I didn't, right? And
Did you work in retail?
I almost did, but I almost did. But I had this one boss who was very open and honest with me and said, you know, Tina, everyone likes you, but you are so scary. And he put two chairs in front of my desk and he said, you know, I'm going to make everybody come to you before they come to me. And you're going to solve all of the problems so I don't have to. And I got to tell you, that was life-changing. I mean, you know, being in a position to listen to everyone and try to be helpful and, you know, start to build that trust and that rapport, that relationship with one individual. You know, we're from one individual to like 50 individuals in the whole organization. It can be very, very powerful. Relationships are powerful. And so I would definitely say having deep connections and relationships with people. I mean, I still talk to folks that I've known for like over 20 years that I've worked with.
That's fantastic. And that's also rare. A lot of people don't.
Yes, it is
so
rare.
It is rare. And it's your personality, I think, that also keeps that in that, you know, growth stage like that, in that connective mm-hmm. stage. I want to let folks know, too, that at Jackson Consulting Group, you do so many different things for your clients: strategic operations consulting, people strategy, team development, group coaching, the executive coaching, some of what we talked about here. And very quickly, there's also a signature program, too, that's in development, huh?
Yes, that is a program that is in the works. It's called E3, Elevate, Excel, Empower. And I've been working on that for quite a while. It is based on lessons learned from my professional journey, coupled with, you know, learning about the emotional intelligence piece and the science behind that, as well as, you know, other tips and tricks in leadership and management. So, yes, that is definitely in the works. I'm hoping to finalize that this summer.
That's exciting. Want to learn more, everybody, you can go to tinajackson.com, spell it out, T-I-N-N-A, and then Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N.com, to learn more about that and everything else that she's doing. We've got less than a minute. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners? And we do hope to have you back and expand some more, Tina. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Well, at first I would say call your mom, everybody. Call your mom. Call your dad. Check in with the people that you love and care about. You know, we all get really, really busy, and it helps to take a minute to just say hi to someone. You know, you might change the course of someone's day for the better, and I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. And so, again, you know, check in with old colleagues. And like I said, I've been in contact with folks I haven't worked with in over 10 or 20 years. And relationships are so meaningful in all that we do. And, you know, lastly, just be kind. Say thank you whenever you can. Who knows, it could make someone smile, which is a great thing.
And I thank you. Are you smiling?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Thank you, Jim.
Yes, I can see it through the technology, as am I, Tina. Really a pleasure, and hope we do get a chance to expand and hear some more about the incredible work you do. The 30 minutes went by in a New York minute for sure, but the entire episode is archived and people can hear this again. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio, Tina. It was really a pleasure, and hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you today.
I sure have. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You keep up the extraordinary work. Tina Jackson of Jackson Consulting Group, based in Washington, D.C. And the website, again, is tinajackson.com, and Tina is spelled T-I-N-N-A. For all of us here, this is Jim Masters thanking you for your time. This time till next time, don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial, as we say. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Go out and inspire. That's what we love to do. We'll see you again soon here on Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.